Worship God. Is it the songs that we sing or the music we listen to? Welcome to Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Our study in the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles chapters 16 and 17 reveals the heart of real worship as we visit with King David and hear his final psalm. This is an important moment in history as the one whom God called the man after God's own heart pours out his heart of worship as his life and reign draw to an end. We're going to learn a lot today about what it takes to really worship God. So as you find your place on the Bible bus, we've got a great letter to share. It comes from Lakewood, New Jersey. Thanks very much for providing all the five-year studies for anyone to download absolutely free. Wow, what a gift. I downloaded everything and then discovered the Bible bus flash drive that includes all the studies and Dr. McGee's booklets. I got one for me and one for my pastor who first told me about Through the Bible. When I listen to the radio broadcast, I'm always glad to catch Steve and Greg talking about the ministry. I have to say, I am shocked to hear that the huge number of people around the world who have yet to hear of Jesus and the free gift of salvation. If anybody can prepare people for the quickening of the Holy Spirit, it is through the Bible. Time seems charged with urgency, and I consider all of you every day and pray your crucial calling is provided for, protected, and peaceful. Well, thanks so much for standing with us in prayer. And you know, even more than financial support, we've always said we urgently need your intercession. So why don't you put Through the Bible on your prayer list and sign up to be part of the World Prayer Team at ttb.org/pray. You'll be glad you did. And now let's pray as we begin this fabulous study in 1 Chronicles 16 and 17. Heavenly Father, thank you for the body of believers worldwide who are praying for your will to be done in every country of the world. We intercede for those who have yet to hear or yet to trust. We pray that you would open their hearts and minds to your grace. Teach us now how to worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we come back today to this 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles. And we've seen that David brought up the ark the right way to Jerusalem. And God has marvelously blessed him. David's heart's now filled with joy. Jerusalem was his city. He loved it. And he also found it was God's city. Now, I must confess that the times I've been to Jerusalem, and I've spent a week there on one occasion, it's not my city. I wouldn't care for it, and David can have it. However, in David's day, I'm sure that it was different than it is today. But I can't see that it'd be that much different. And I personally don't go for the song, "We're Marching to Zion." I'm not marching to Zion and the beautiful city of God. I am not marching at all. I expect one of these days to be taken to the new Jerusalem. And all things are going to be made new there, and that'll be all right. But may I say to you, David is rejoicing, and we began this wonderful psalm of thanksgiving. And let me just lift some of the verses out, beginning with verse 8. And this actually is Psalm 105. We'll be considering it again. Now notice it. He says here, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." That's something that needs to be known. I read a letter. Here's a person that's been brought up in a church, apparently in a liberal church, and the Bible is practically meaningless to that individual. I say that's tragic today. And then here's a group that have come in, and I think definitely been converted. And for a time, they went out on a jag. They went out on the tongues movement. I'm not going to criticize them for that. They thought that was the way to go. Now they've settled down to the study of the Word of God. And both the one that had been in a liberal church and these that had been in probably the fanatic fringe, they now have settled down to study the Word of God. Now that's the place of blessing. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. God has been moving in the past. He's moving today, I think. And I think that His hand can be seen in the affairs of the world today. And He's not through with this little world. Now notice verse 9. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Now I can't sing. And David made it clear for fellows like me and maybe some of you that can't sing. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And actually, I don't sing in public at all. Well, I don't sing. But when I get in the car by myself, a lot of times I drive a great deal to meetings around and conferences. And so I just set out with it. Doesn't sound good. Doesn't even sound good to me. But I like to praise God. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Now in salvation, all you've got to do is to come His way, trust Christ as your Savior, and you'll be saved. But that doesn't ensure you're going to have fellowship. You have to follow through. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. When you got up this morning, what was the first thing you thought about? When you go to bed at night, what's the last thing you think about? You think about God. Of all during the day, do you just leave Him behind when you go to work or to school or to some other place? Do you leave Him outside at the social gatherings? Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. We were out in the Hawaiian Islands, and one evening there was a glorious sunset, and there are many of them out there. And there are glorious sunsets, I think, everywhere. And I called attention to it, and I said, my, look at that. I said, look at how God has done that. Anything God does, He does it in a big way. He had plenty of light, a great big old sun, big old sky, and the mountains there. So He just put color in that and let the sun go down just so you'd enjoy it. And David says, let's call attention to it. Call attention to the sunset. Call attention to the creation. Call attention to what God does. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Verse 12. Verse 13, O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. And I think that He's making judgments today. His hands are moving in the affairs of men. Oh, I know Satan is the god of this world today. God's given him a certain amount of rope today, and he's going to be turned loose in the great tribulation period. But that doesn't mean that God's not going to finally close in, because He is the God of judgment. Will you listen? Verse 15, be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which He made with Abraham and of His oath unto Isaac. Now, there are a great many today that like to minimize the covenant God made with Abraham. David's not minimizing that covenant. David says, let's talk about it. He made a covenant with Abraham. And he confirmed that covenant with Isaac, took an oath. He said, I'm going to do this thing. Now, David said, let's talk about that. God's made covenants. And those covenants are important today. God made a covenant with Abraham. He hasn't gone back on it. God said, I'm going to give to you and your offspring this land, and God's going to do it. I don't think that means they're going there and take it all over today, but I do mean that when they get it from the hand of God, they won't need to fear the Egyptians or the Arabs or Russia. They won't need to fear anybody, because every man's going to dwell there under his vine, under his fig tree in peace. And that means you'll own your own property. God will let them own their own property. It'll all belong to God just as it does today. But God is giving it to them. and he's made over to us. So many spiritual blessings today. Now let's move on here. What was that covenant? Well, verse 17, he hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Wasn't made for just that day. Listen to him. Now, David understood that God made a covenant with Abraham about that land, was going to give it to him. Listen to the verse 18, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but a few, even a few and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation, from kingdom to kingdom, to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. The interesting thing is, I must confess, that today you can get by with a great deal. I think one of the reasons that today a great many people are getting by with persecuting Christians, and they do it in a nice way in this country. They merely gossip about them, circulate false report and all that. Why are they getting by with it? Well, they're actually not getting by with it. God's already said, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Keep your hands off of God's work. And that's one of the reasons that today I'm very strict on doctrine. A great many people wonder why certain groups that I disagree with, why they have me, they even hold conferences. Well, because of the fact, friends, I believe that God's moving in their midst, and they hold to the integrity of the Word of God and the deity of Christ. And I must say, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. I'm not going to touch His work, because I believe that today we need to be very careful. And my friend, you better be very careful in your church today. What you are doing, are you hurting and harming the work of God? Are you helping it on? That's important. This is in a psalm here. Listen to it. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Now there's a day coming when all creation, it's today groaning in pain. Someday, waiting for the redemption of the sons of God. And then creation will be released. And friends, you're going to hear music the like of which you've never heard before. Listen to verse 24. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. And that means they're nothing. They're just a piece of wood, piece of stone, piece of metal. And is it vegetable, mineral, or what have you? Is that your God? All the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, bring an offering, and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It does mean a beautiful church. I love those too. But it means the beauty of holiness. Oh, today, most of us don't even know what it is to worship God. And even right now, reading this psalm, don't you just really feel like saying a little amen? And maybe just say glory to God? Praise the Lord, not just as some little Christian cliche, but something that's meaningful. Oh, how wonderful this is. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. A day's coming. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because He cometh to judge the earth. Trees are going to sing. I'm waiting for that day. Somebody says, how do you think they'll sing? I don't know. But when we get to that day, you and I both will know. Verse 34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. God is not short on mercy. And that's what I need. I imagine that's what you need. He has plenty of it. Why don't you go to Him? What do you need today? Go to him. Verse 35, and say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said amen, and they praised the Lord. This is wonderful, friends. I've just touched the surface here. We've just stood on the fringe of this marvelous psalm here today. Now let me move on. Verse 37, so he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren to minister before the ark continually as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom with their brethren, 80, Obed-Edom also the son of Jethun and Hosah to be porters, and Zadok the priest and his brethren the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeon. Now, I do not know who his secretary of state was, or his secretary of the treasury, or the representative at the United Nations. But I do know who the ones were that took care of the ark and that worshiped before God and carried on the spiritual matters of his kingdom. Verse 40, to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord upon the altar, the burnt offering continually, morning and evening, and to do according to all that's written in the law of the Lord which he commanded Israel. They kept the way open to God. And with them Heman and Jeduthun and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name to give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endureth forever. That's the reason you to give thanks to God. His mercy endureth forever. Now, this is a great section. Here's where God put the emphasis. Now, we turn to the other aspect here in chapter 17, and you have David in the temple now, because you see that ark is out there just in a flapping tent. Actually, the old tabernacle is probably worn out. They just put it in a tent there. It's temporary. Now, notice what we have here in chapter 17. Now, we've been over this in 2 Samuel 7. Now, it came to pass as David sat in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, do all that's in thine heart, for God is with thee. Now, I am very sympathetic with Nathan. He did what he thought was the right thing. But here's a case where a prophet of God is wrong. David said, I want to build God a house. I'm dwelling here in this lovely palace, and I look down from Mount Zion every morning. I see the flapping tent down there. I think it rained the night before. And David said, last night I heard the pitter-patter of the rain on my palace, and I thought of the ark. I want to build God a house. God gave him credit for it, by the way. And Nathan said unto David, do all that's in thine heart, for God's with thee. But God had to get him straightened out. It came to pass the same night, word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, from tabernacle to tabernacle. God always identifies himself with his people, and that's the reason that he took upon himself our humanity, friends. He's always identified himself with his people. Now, his people dwelt in tents, and God dwelt in tents with them. That's where he met them. Now, he said here, wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, when the people got in the land, built permanent homes, there was no permanent temple built, you see. Now, God says, I didn't say to them, why don't you do this? But you see, this was in David's heart. Now, God says to Nathan, you go tell David this. Now, therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldst be ruler over my people Israel. He said to David, I want you to never forget your humble beginning, where I went down and picked you up, a little shepherd boy, to make you king over my people. And now verse 8, and I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked. I have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. David today is one of the great men of this earth, by the way. Verse 9, also I will ordain a place for my people Israel. I'll plant them. They shall dwell in their place and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. In other words, God says the day will come. I'll put them in that land. They will have peace. They will turn to me in that day. They haven't today. No one could make that statement because they're very far from him. There's quite a division in Israel today whether they even should follow the Orthodox viewpoint at all. Verse 10, and since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house. And isn't that just like our God? David says, I want to build God a house. God says, David, you can't do it. You're a bloody man. I can't let you build it, but I'm going to build you a house. I give you credit for it. It is in his heart to build God a house. Now God says, I'm going to build you a house. Now listen to what the Lord emphasizes here. And it shall come to pass when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I'll raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house. I will establish his throne forever. Who is that? We'll open the New Testament, the very first verse. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The two great covenants that God made are to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Listen to him now. I will be his father. He shall be my son. I'll not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house, in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. God means that. God will build a kingdom on this earth. Jesus Christ is coming to establish that kingdom on the earth. According to all these words, according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Now, God thought this was important. This is the second time we've had it. Had it in 2 Samuel 7. God comes back now and lets you know what he considers important. Now, notice the reaction of David. Verse 16, and David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God, and what's mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? David says, I just don't understand your goodness and your grace and mercy. And may I say, here is one this morning that can say the same thing. Why has God been so good to me? Why has God been so good to you, my friend? The mercy. He's not short on mercy, is he? Our God is not. Oh, to come to him and to have business with him and have a personal relationship with him and to have a communication with him, because we have a communication from him. This is his word. And David goes on here. What can David speak? Verse 18, more to thee for the honor of thy servant, that thou knowest thy servant. David knew he was just a sinner, and God did this for him. And then David goes over, we've been over this before, of what God had done for him. O Lord, there's none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we've heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel? Verse 25, for thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him a house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised his goodness unto thy servant. Now therefore let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. O my friend today, come to God and get in his presence.
Dr. McGee posed a great question there at the end. He asked, why has God been so good to you, my friend? And the answer is simple. You know, there's not one of us who doesn't need his mercy every day. His mercy that forgives us of our sin. His mercy that secures us a place with him forever. His mercy, whose name is Jesus. Do you know him? If you've never surrendered your life to God's mercy, then today is a beautiful day to meet Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you'd like to learn more what this means, then visit ttb.org and click on the banner, How Can I Know God? And hey, have you heard about our brand new resource called Briefing the Bible? What we did is we combined all of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines into a paperback book and free digital download. It's a great, easy way to get started studying every book of the Bible. Let us know if you'd like your free copy, and we'll send it your way. Or download the digital version right away. Visit ttb.org for details or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. And when you get in touch, please let us know how you choose to listen to Through the Bible. Is it by radio, online, by podcast, or flash drive? This little bit of information helps us be good stewards of the ministry provision that God has so graciously entrusted to us. Tomorrow, we'll pick up our study in 1 Chronicles at chapter 18. So why don't you read ahead in chapters 18 and 19 and be ready to be blessed by God's Word. I'm Steve Swetz, and I'll be saving you a seat right here on the Bible Bus.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.